Hello and welcome to another episode of VG Club. I'm your host, Daxter23Jack, aka Viv. And today I am joined by Chris, aka hey. Priya Knight.
Hello.
Ben, aka BJK394.
Hello.
Javi, aka Javi Asleep.
Yup.
And last but not least, Cool Luck, aka Marcus. And today we will be talking about the nearly 30-year-old cult classic, Final Fantasy Tactics. And I think more specifically, most of us played the Ivalis Chronicles, the kind of remake that came out with last year, correct?
Yeah.
That's what I played, yep.
Okay. Just making sure that nobody was like, oh yeah, I've got the PlayStation original, I'm going to crank that out.
I mean, if they did, I don't think there'd be an issue there. I think there's changes with War of the Lions, which is the PSP version of it, but...
Oh, I didn't know there was changes with the PSP version. I know there was like cinematics they added, but...
Yeah, and we don't get those here. And I think they do a different, like slightly different script, basically the same, but I think they do. There's some changes in how it's presented.
Yeah. Either way, I am glad I played the Ivalice Chronicles edition because that fast forward button was very handy.
Yeah. Definitely.
I'm guessing that wasn't in the PSP version.
I don't remember it in either of the other versions, no.
Okay. But yeah, I guess before we kind of get into things, does anybody want to give a brief synopsis of the story?
I can. If
Marcus, I'm glad you volunteered. No, okay.
Okay, Marcus, go.
No, I didn't finish this piece of shit, so someone else should do it.
Whoa. okay. Let's see. It's a sprawling political epic of houses in this place, Ivalis, and you follow Ramza, who is the bastard nobleborn son of the House Belv, and his lowborn friend Delita, and they get crossed up in a plot to overthrow the current government and the different warring factions between, and generally becomes a tale of class struggle between the rich and the regular people, the serfs.
Yeah, and I guess like spoilers for almost 30-year-old game, but then sure. You know, they JRPG tropes ensue, demons kind of get added to the mix, and then you know, of course, the final battle is. I don't want to say it's against a god. It's more against a prophet that turns out to be false.
Yeah, that's also kind of like a piece here is that religion is a major factor within and the controlling of the populace through religion. And then maybe what the churches tell you aren't true. it's kind of like an underlying point here. From
what a day to record this,
right? On Easter. yeah.
Thank you, Christian Church, for never doing anything bad.
I don't know that.
Or power hungry.
Oh, you're talking about the Christian Church, not
the actual
Christian Church. Yeah. Okay.
I mean, maybe Christian Church, the person, has also done something bad. I don't know.
But yeah, no, I think that's a pretty good summation of the story. There's honestly a lot to chew on here. And I mean, I'm speaking as somebody who didn't even kind of dig into like the, and I don't know if this was in the original, but kind of like the choose your own adventure, like storybooks.
Oh no, that's all new for this.
Okay. Good to, good to know. But yeah, there's a lot in here. And I mean, there's, there's a reason why there's like an encyclopedia of different characters, because I definitely had to go through that every now and then to remind myself of everybody's names. Like, who's the High Confessor, or what's the last name of the kind of narrator, author who started off this entire thing?
Yep, there's a lot of characters, some that will come into the story and then kind of just fade away if you don't continue to utilize them, but. And then there's just characters that are like here, and then they're gone three scenes later because you've killed them or they're no longer needed in the narrative.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, this is a game that isn't afraid to kill characters. That's for sure.
So it was, I mean, I don't know when Game of Thrones came out, but it was like, it's Game of Thrones before Game of Thrones came out, right? Like, I'm sure that the first book for Game of Thrones had been out around this time, but
yeah, I'm actually curious.
It's also funny that like this is Final Fantasy, and then eventually Final Fantasy would take Game of Thrones as inspiration for what was it, 16?
Right? Yeah,
yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah,
it's not that different than 16 in a lot of ways.
Game of Thrones was August 1986, and I believe Final Fantasy Tactics was 1997.
That sounds right. Yeah, so probably not like too much crossover between, but like very similar in scope, right? Like
considerably less incest.
Yeah,
just a little bit less.
Well, yeah, I guess we are still dealing with the ruling class. But, yeah, no, overall, I mean, I really enjoyed the story. I think at first it took me, like, a little while to kind of get into it. I think it's kind of like reading a book like How to Kill a Mockingbird, like, in school. It's a school thing.
I was I'm getting like to a it. Shakespeare comparison or something where it's the way they speak is harder to grasp.
I'm just saying, like, you know, at first I was kind of treating it like a required piece of reading, but then I started getting more, like, engaged to it, and I'm like, okay, I understand why this is such a cult class. Okay, maybe I should have used the Shakespeare example. But you... I was just trying to illustrate, like, at first, like, sometimes, like, required reading projects, like, in school, they can feel like a drag, but sometimes you get to a point where I'm like, okay, I understand why this is taught, or why this is talked about in such reverence.
Sure. Did you play the game?
Yeah.
Oh. Okay, well, that's where we part ways, because I was with you with, like, the narrative side of it. I thought it was surprisingly, like, a lot of meat to that. But then you actually have to, like, play the game between the narrative bits.
Yeah, and we can get to gameplay here. I mean, right now, if you want to. Marcus, it sounds like you've got a stone to grind.
Just so clunky and boring. And the game, unless you're going to play on like easy mode the whole time, the game requires you to grind. At least that's what it felt like.
Wait, there was an easy mode?
Yeah.
I mean, kind of.
What's the easy mode? I'm actually curious.
There's like the different difficulties you choose at the beginning, and
oh, okay. I don't remember difficulty selection.
Is that what it's called, Marcus? Novice? Like,
yeah, I think it's like novice, swordsman, and you know, I never looked at the hard one.
I think it's knight.
Okay.
Yeah, I think I went with swordsman then. I usually go for a normal, but even normal was pretty hard for me.
Oh, yeah.
There was a couple of boss fights where, like, it kind of bottlenecks you, kind of being like, hey, have you gotten these abilities to, because I, like, what was it? The fight against the demonic Wheatgraff?
Mm-hmm.
I needed to grind for auto potion to survive that.
Yeah, well, that's something I would complain about here. Is like they don't really explain they don't do a great job of explaining the job system and equipping skills and making sure you have your characters outfitted. Like you could grind out and buy a whole bunch of skills for different classes, and if you don't equip them properly, you're not carrying that stuff over where it's able to be carried over, and you're going into battle weakened because it just doesn't explain a lot to you.
Equipping skills, how do you do that?
So if you go to the you know, where you actually like equip equipment, there's a whole tab that like you can equip cross skills. So skills that are like some of them are passive, some of them are like active skills that you can actually do. So like you can equip throw on anybody after you've gotten it, but like it's default for what is it, like the chemist, I think, like they have like throw like that is like a default skill for them, but you can get that and then equip it onto any of your characters, but there's only like 5 slots there that you could utilize.
Yeah, so for instance, like, you know, with a more faith-based inclined character, which was something I had to look up, they didn't really explain bravery and faith. I just figured it was related to strength and magic stats. But for somebody who is more faith inclined, I would have like, oh, they're a summoner, and then they've got white magic as a backup to cure like status elements. That's their secondary skill. And then would have boost magic or spell shortening and movement plus two or kind of like counter equipped on them, all of that stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think like pretty much anyone can learn any skill, but you have to grind for it. I think that's kind of the fun of the class, but also like the annoying part of the job system is like you do have to grind in order to unlock sometimes even like basic stuff like using potions or using Phoenix Downs and things like that.
Yep, yeah, like the chemist can't just by default you like they have potion, I think, or might not even be potion right away, but then like to use a high potion you have to grind that out, and ether and Phoenix Down, like to utilize those skills, like they have to basically learn them as you progress.
Which is why the fast forward button was very handy for me, because I felt like I did a lot of grinding.
Wasn't fast enough.
Yeah, they could have sped it up a bit more, but I do understand where you're coming from to a degree, Marcus, because, you know, I grew up playing Fire Emblem, like, on the Game Boy, which is, you know, a very similar game. It's another grid-based tactics game, but I feel like Fire Emblem, even though it takes place in a very similar setting, you know, it has unique character animations. Each character is unique, and in this game, you've got your main characters, and, you know, but once you can recruit them, they kind of fade into the background, and they're like, oh, well, we don't want them to have a main story part, because they can actually get killed, God forbid.
I mean, there are characters that will have, so did you guys recruit, like, Mustario, or Mustad, I don't know how to pronounce it. What was that, Marcus?
That was the guy who had the cool gun when he showed up in the story, and then you actually equip him, and he no longer has it.
Yeah, you have to re-get him a cool gun. So like he's there, and he has like a whole side quest that, like, if you don't recruit him, you don't get to do his side quest, and there's like another 3 characters you can unlock, including Cloud, by doing it. Cloud? Yeah, like Cloud from from Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah, they even find a way to kind of mix it in, like, oh, during this period of Final Fantasy VII, Cloud got lost in the not the Aether Stream. What's it called? The Life Stream.
It's the Life Stream. It's when he's in a coma.
Yeah, and then basically he's like, oh no, I've got to get back. And then, of course, you know, he's having constant, like, headaches and being like, Fafaroth! And then everybody's like, oh god, this guy's lost it. You need to be careful around him.
I mean, once you add him to your group, like, he doesn't have anything to say again, but but, like, there are characters that have things, like, Mustario has that. There's, trying to think of the... Orlando, Count Orlando.
Yeah.
Like, he, like, if you bring him as a party member to battles, in, especially in the late game, like, he will have interactions with other characters. But most of them are just, they're throwaway people. Like, they're not characters that make any difference to the story. So really, like, Ramza is the only one you need to keep alive.
Yeah. And I mean, it's also kind of like the non-story characters very much all look the same, which, you know, when I've got a character named like Alicia and one named Elise, I get them confused. And granted, you have the option to like rename them, but it would have been nice if I could have just been like given one of them like a different hair color, like same character model, just different hair color. There's way too many blondes in this game. Just like, but no, I feel like just as somebody who kind of grew up on grid-based tactics games, I still prefer Fire Emblem because, yeah, as Marcus said, the system can be a little slow. The animations aren't anything too spectacular. Either, and it can take a while to kind of play out, move, that sort of thing. So that's why the fast forward button was very handy, but it sounds like for Marcus it wasn't fast enough. Did you need it moved up to 10 times speed?
At least. I needed the game to respect my time and just go through. And having to, you know, like it's already been mentioned, having to grind out the different jobs to get different spells or just to get strong enough to go over the next main story bit, it's just really annoying. And it feels like I know this is an old game, but it's very like emblematic of the time of just like, hey, these games are expensive and we want these kids to be playing for a while, so like let's just really make them work for it.
King approach.
Wait, what? Like the Super Nintendo Lion King?
Yeah, no, they purposely made, what was it, the second level, like, really hard with all the monkeys throwing you every which way direction, so, like, they could get over a certain, like, play threshold so people can beat it, like, in a single rental period.
Gotcha. My cousin owned that game, so I would play it a little bit, I assume die at that section, and then switch it out for something else, because that wasn't fun. And that's really what this game was. It wasn't fun.
I'll say this for you, Marcus. If you did not enjoy the gameplay and difficulty and styling of this, don't play Tactics Ogre ever.
Is that this on like steroids?
It's the game that what's it, Matsuno, who worked on this originally, I believe. He's the writer and director of the original Tactics. That's his game from before this, and he basically takes like the same style of Tactics, except it is so much harder. so much harder.
But the narrative, like at least with Let Us Cling Together, that's the only Tactics Ogre I've played, had a lot more like branching kind of like narrative options. The characters felt a bit more kind of customizable. Like, not customizable, but diverse. Bleh.
Sure. But, like, the original version of that game, not that at all.
Well, the original version of Fire Emblem isn't anything to wax poetic about either. Shadow Dragon is not the best Fire Emblem game.
Sounds like a good genre, guys.
Wow.
Look, I think Fire Emblem, most people agree, like, hit its fever pitch when it started, like, weaving in the dating sim aspect and, like, lots of, like, social interactions in between, like, the tactics stuff.
So where did they start doing that, Javi? The only one I've ever played... Okay, so the only one I ever played was the GameCube one that you can play on Switch.
Radiance. Right.
So yeah, basically
Three Houses is the favorite, the fan favorite on Switch.
Yeah, but what was it? The first one that incorporated the dating elements was the 3DS one, which was Awakening. That's the one with Lucina.
Yeah, where nobody has feet. Everybody has like peg legs.
Oh.
The stylistic choice.
You really hated that, huh, Javi?
Oh no, it's just I think it's funny. Look, it's a 3DS.
Javi is a connoisseur.
Yeah, yeah. I focus. I look down.
Sure you do.
Yeah.
They were really Final on Fantasy like Tactics, little
great feet. Yeah, they have like their legs come down to a little point.
Like a 64 game?
The 3DS.
Well, yeah, I guess 3DS was sort of like a 64 plus, right? Sort of like in between that and GameCube.
I mean, it's hard to say because like Mario 64 ran on the original DS, you know?
Oh, yeah.
It's a little, it's better than the, I think it's somewhere between the GameCube and the N64 because like Ocarina of Time and Majora's Mask Remake look way better.
Fair.
So. Also, freaking Resident Evil Mercenaries looks incredible. Looks like RE5.
Yeah, well, wasn't the Revelation game? Those were technical powerhouses too, right?
Yeah, I think the second one was not on 3DS. I think only the first one. But yeah.
But yeah, I guess, Ben, did you have any particular thoughts about like the gameplay? Because you also finished the game, correct?
Yeah, I finished it. I mean, I think it's, I think the drawbacks of it, a lot of it are like just a game of its time period. I think if they were to ever make like an actual like modern day FF Tactics game, they would probably like, you know, tutorialize it a lot more, explain how a lot of the job system works, things like that. But yeah, I think this game is definitely a, you know, product of its time, but I think the remake did a decent job of trying to at least somewhat explain how a lot of the systems work without like, you know, massively overhauling them. But yeah, I could see the friction for sure if someone is unfamiliar with this genre.
Have you played any other tile-based tactics games, Marcus? Like Advance Wars, Fire Emblem, Tactics Ogre, anything?
Keep listening, because so far, no.
I'm trying to think. Is there any other grid-based tactics games you guys can think of?
I mean, I've played like Into the Breach. Not tactics, but I played like XCOM. A little bit of Into the Breach. But yeah, I do on the grid-based side of things, I do more the XCOM, Empire Sin. What was that freaking... It wasn't an X-Men game, but it was like the Midnight Suns.
Midnight Suns. It was card-based, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're definitely XCOM more modern than this, for sure.
Yeah.
Marcus just wants it to be like 2010 or after for his tactics games.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess I like when I say tactics games, that's why I get specific with like grid based tactics, because then you get into like, you know, PC kind of like tactics strategy RPGs as well.
Yeah,
like Gettysburg, Civil War, you know, the games Tony plays.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, when you have to get like a spreadsheet to play your game, like you're in the deep end of it.
But no, how long was this game at the end of the day?
For me, I got 40 hours.
40. Yeah, that's about what I was, yeah.
Let me see.
You can complete it in like a significantly shorter period if you know what you're doing.
Final Fantasy Tactics, like 37 hours for me.
Wow.
Yeah, I think that's how long to beat kind of has it between like 40 and 45, I think. At least if you're going for a you know, main story plus extras. Oh.
Where'd you leave off, Javi?
Oh man, I finished the game in 4 hours.
Oh, you speed ran it. Good job.
Yeah, that's great.
I think you got distracted by Pokemon Pocopia.
I mean, so like I started the game one night and in bed, and I thought this would be like the best Steam Deck game, like I said last time. And every time I booted it up, I like got like into one mission. Maybe I'd finish it, maybe not, but I would just start dozing off. It was like reading a book, and I'm like, oh, I don't know, man. And I just never got very far and wasn't compelled to come back. And like, you know, I just kind of resigned at a certain point where I'm like, you know, I mean, this is a game, like y'all have said, is a, you know, it's pretty well regarded by its fans. Like I respect the game. I think it's probably very, very good. But man, am I not jiving with it? Or maybe I'm just not in the mood. But I feel like this happens a lot with these grid-based tactics games. Like I have fond memories of Advance Wars, but if I'm being honest, I don't think I've ever finished one. You know, like I enjoy them in such small bursts, and then I'm like, oh yeah, I got it. I don't really need to, you know, spend too much time here. And that's kind of what happened here. And also, like, I just really am not a big fantasy guy. Like fantasy kind of makes me less interested in most things. And so since this is so heavily, you know, in that kind of world, like my brain just kind of like tunes out most of it. So.
Which is kind of interesting, because I guess when, you know, if you had me pressed on the spot, like, is Javi a Final Fantasy fan? I'd be like, yes.
Oh, well, that's maybe a weird wrinkle there, is that, like, Final Fantasy IX is one of my favorite games of all time. Maybe it's more, I don't know, I really love, like, how playful the characters are. It's more cartoony, you know?
There is that sci-fi kind of twist towards the end, maybe not as much as Final Fantasy VIII, but you know, there's still like another world.
And then I love Final Fantasy XV as well, which is very contemporary. So I don't know.
And Tactics is very like it is. I mean, it is Game of Thrones, right? Like, I mean, I said that earlier, but it is that type of fantasy. Like, if that's not your deal, like, I could see being turned off. Like, I don't like high fantasy, and this high political fantasy is really not doing it for me.
The game and the story is very, it's very political machinations, not so much, you know, I mean, you get to like weird demons and stuff like that eventually, but like, yeah, it's very, I guess, grounded to some degree.
Especially
in that first act, like the whole first act is very grounded, because you don't, there's no monsters, none of the demon stuff comes in until the second act. Like, it's just this dude and his buddy, and they're dealing with an insurrection, basically, that's going on between the upper and lower class.
Yeah, and honestly, like, Wiegraaff, like, in the first act, he's pretty heroic, and then kind of just watching his like fall from like realizing like I didn't have enough power to fulfill my ambitions, and letting kind of like revenge kind of consume him. Mm-hmm. Although I feel like Ramza did everything he could for his sister, like, here, use me, like, live. And then the sister's like, nah, I'm good. Blech. So yeah, I mean, there really is a lot to love. And I mean, like, the writing in this game, like, I mean, there's still some lines, like, if the, what is it, if the penalty for a crime is a fine, then, you know, the the only people the law ascertains to are, you know, the poor, you know. There's some really, you know, stuff that like, still remains rather pertinent.
What was that, Marcus?
Just said that's a really long quote. Pause and you know in that one.
To build off your point though, Dax, I think it's like if you enjoyed what was going on in the narrative, like it's not weirdly timely because it was timely in 97 as well, but like where a bunch of religious nutbags are trying to take over the government of a country, this one kind of hits there too. Like, oh, we're gonna put shit on the poor and the working class. We're gonna make their lives more miserable and try to control them while we lie about this religion as well. Like, it's again not weirdly timely, but it fits for the time that we're in right now.
It's no, timely. And I mean, like, for most of the story, you know, Ramza is branded like a heretic, so he's pretty much always at odds with the church itself, even though, like, you know, at the end of the day, the church wasn't the ultimate baddie. They kind of orchestrated a lot of this war. And then you find out that demons behind the scenes were, you know, kind of using the church, but, you know, JRPG trope. Yeah, no, I've got the quote right here. Let's see. Or no, that you, Marcus, was the one asking. My bad. There we go. I'm looking at the peg feet. Yeah, if the penalty for a crime is a fine, that law only exists for the lower class. There we go. That's the exact.
Yeah, because rich people could pay it off.
Funny, there's a Blue Sky account called Leftist Gamer Memes, and they take lots of screenshots from games and then modify the text to say stuff exactly like that. It's kind of cool. You can just take that out of the game and it works.
Just drop it in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no. And I mean, like, I felt like this was the first iteration of to include voice acting too. That wasn't in the PSP version, right? Or at least for not for the non-cinematic stuff.
Yeah, no, I think it was all reading, if I remember correctly. I have not played it in, but that game came out 20 years ago too, so
yeah.
But I don't remember the voice. Like, this is the first time I'm like, oh, this entire script is voice acted. And
is this how you read it in your head back in the day though, do you think?
Yeah. Only because I played a Vagrant Story, which takes place in the same kind of world, and there.
Oh, it does.
It takes place in Ivalice. Mulan is mentioned, which is one of the cities you go to here. Also, Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah, I knew about Final Fantasy 12.
Yeah, because it's the director, right? They all have the same director.
Maybe. That makes sense. That would check out. I've never actually looked into that though. Let's see, Final Fantasy Tactics. But Marcus, to answer your question, yeah, there's like a little bit of voice at the beginning of Vagrant Story and like a cutscene. The rest of it doesn't really have voice acting, but yeah, that's kind of how I heard it in my head. Is that kind of pompous English delivery?
Yeah, very Shakespearean, like "twas," you know, that sort of shit.
And yes, Ben, you are correct. It is the same director or at least he worked on Tactics, Vagrant Story, and Final Fantasy XII.
Yeah, my first foray into Final Fantasy Tactics was the one on the Game Boy that starts with the snowball fight. So, like, I thought the judges were a lot more of a kind of key proponent mechanic in this game. Which I was pleasantly surprised that the judges weren't a thing, because like did you ever play like tactics like Advance or A2,
Chris? I've not ever played them. I always mean to, but then don't get around to it. Are they significantly different from this, or?
Yeah, story is a lot less of an emphasis. Like Advance, at the very least, I'm not sure about A2, is kind of like a isekai story. Like, you know, these school kids are taken to another world, and then. But I was more specifically, like, judges are kind of a part of each of the maps battles, and they'll sometimes be like, "Oh, you can't use thunder magic," and then they'll punish you if you use thunder magic.
Got it.
So I'm glad awful. That. Well,
yeah, that sounds like it sucks.
Like I don't think I could make it through. Like if they were like, yeah, you can't use this now. Like what?
Yeah, I wasn't. Even as a kid, it was kind of hard for me to kind of grasp. So I think I would be able to kind of get through the game, and a lot. Less with a lot less friction nowadays, but still I didn't like that as a kid. But people swear by like A2 at the very least. They really like that game. I think it's worth a pretty penny these days too.
One day I'll poke at it.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Let the past stay in the past.
That's true.
Let the past die.
Oh, kill it if you have to.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, I mean, like, I feel like you're kind of taking the advice of the modern Republican Party. Like, yeah, just kill the past.
No,
we don't need
to
teach about it.
I just want to play old shitty games.
We're not going to make you play anymore. We're not going to make you play A2. You're good. You're safe, Marcus. You're safe. Tactics won't ever hurt you again.
Once it comes around to Javi's turn, he pulls some crazy suggestions.
Javi's only suggesting grid-based tactics games for Marcus from now on.
Oh my god. Definitely. Go down the line. I'm only going to suggest games that I don't want to play.
Oh, you guys actually played it?
That was a joke.
It's on you. Does anybody actually play God Hand? Wow, good on you.
I want to play God Hand. I've never even touched it, but I'm very curious.
I've heard that game is like very revolutionary in some ways, but also very clunky. It was also like one of those games like, why would you recommend that to Roger Ebert? You know, back when he was alive.
I think it's a Shinji Mikami joint, which immediately like is required reading for me. I'm such a fan, but yeah, I never got to it, so I need to.
So I guess for you tactics fans, what in this game is sort of like a building block that later games really built on? Like, what was new here that wasn't sort of here before, or is this like the first one?
This is the first Final Fantasy Tactics, but like you, like we kind of touched on earlier, there was Tactics Ogre, Fire Emblem before this, and then like some of the job mechanic stuff comes straight from Final Fantasy V, right?
I mean, like
Very heavily influenced at the very least.
Yeah, I mean, they've taken classes from five. You could definitely adjust your classes, and 4 and 6 you could not. 3 also had a class system where you could change. So yeah, they had drop it over here, but yeah, it's all very much like we've just kind of tossed everything Final Fantasy into a blender, and you have access to all these different classes, and there's chocobos and crystals and. It's the first one of these at the time, Marcus. Like, it's I wasn't familiar with like these types of tactic games before Final Fantasy Tactics back in 97, so
Yeah, to be fair, Fire Emblem hadn't made its way out here to the States yet. We only got Fire Emblem in 2002 when it came, the seventh one came out for the Game Boy.
But did the Weeb know about it?
What was that?
Did the Weebs know about it?
I can assume, yeah, but you would need money to import it.
Some of them have money. Like too much money.
Yeah. Well, I feel like Weebs were in a different economic class back then. Especially when like VHS tapes, for example, would cost so much money.
The bourgeois weeb.
But yeah, no, I think I mean, and then kind of before we get to our, I guess I just wanted to briefly touch on the voice acting. I think like, you know, some of you referred to earlier, it has a very much of a Shakespearean like tone to it. So I feel like, you know, the voice actors, like, what was it? The main two were Joe Pitt and for Ramza. Who was the other one? It was blah, 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 blah.
Is it Delita?
Yeah, Delita's voice actor, Greg Lowe. They did a really good job of bringing the script to light. And, I mean, like, the way that the game ends is pretty, very, just Shakespearean tragedy, almost. This guy loses his sister to... Honestly, like, they don't even need to shoot her. They just, like, they could have, like, shot her a leg, but they're like, no, straight through the heart. We're not dealing with this shit. And, you know, almost gets blown up, comes back, and kind of uses the machinations of the church and the demons to kind of further his political kind of career, and ends up, you know, married to the queen of Ivalas. And... then, you know, she's just like, you've used everybody in your life as a pawn, a chess piece. What makes me that much different? And then, like, stabs him at the end. And then he stabs her back, and they're both dying on the ground. And Delita just
then,
being like...
And then a dragon comes, and then it...
No,
wait,
dragon.
Wait, so where is the voice acting in that? Like, what was the impressive part?
I was just going to say, and then, like, Delita's just like, I wonder if you got what you wanted, Ramza, because this is what I got. Kind of like, I got a sack of rocks, but, you know, a stab wound from my wife. I'm just saying, like, the voice actor did a good job of bringing it to life.
Yeah, I agree. There was a good performance there, especially in that finale. Unfortunately, Ramza didn't get what he wanted either. Like, he's basically on the run for the rest of his life, so.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, he got a happier ending.
Sure, he lives. Like, him and his sister live, and they're not tied to their noble house anymore, so.
Yeah. And they get to ride chocobos into the sunset. Come on, like.
More can you ask for?
Living's preferable to death, so.
But yeah, no, I thought the voice acting was very well done across the board, and the writing, you know, even for a 13-year-old game, I think it holds up pretty well on the modern day. And yeah, I guess I was surprised. I was surprised by that. Not that those, you know, RPGs from the 90s don't have good writing, but sometimes, you know, it's like when you play the original Final Fantasy VII, you know, it's got some, like, very, you know, the environmentalism themes are very poignant, but at the same time, you know, Cloud being, like, Mako kind of doll puppet, some of that stuff can make you feel like roll your eyes sometimes. I feel like I never really got that with this.
I felt that way in the remake too of 7, though.
Okay. Well,
they threw a lot of just sort of in there to sort of beef up the story and try to add character that didn't necessarily felt like it fit.
the overarching themes. Well, at least with this, from what I played, because I only got to the bit where you're trying to rescue your sister from like a castle, and you meet those two siblings that have their, my power's heaven and my power's the other thing. And
oh, okay.
All throughout, like, it felt pretty
the ninja siblings.
The way everyone was talking to each other. Like, it nothing ever really felt out of place. That the story was always taking itself pretty seriously. I think there was a couple, like, I don't know, exchanges between people that gave them a little bit more character and actually, you know, told us a bit more about their motivations than just, I'm Noble House doing the right thing. Yeah, Noble House being an evil piece of shit. I'm also Noble House being an evil piece of shit, but for my other house, like, it... I liked the exchanges that you would get in battle. It made those battles actually have something to them, and it really depended on like who you brought to that battle. Sort of was what that exchange was. Those sort of bits were cool, and I appreciated it. And I just felt like, and I don't know why seven's the sort of reference point here, but I think it was just a more consistent tone, which I appreciate.
Yeah.
Seven's a good touchstone comparison for this too, because like Seven came out right around the same time as the original Tactics. So,
oh really?
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, they tie in Station. Like Cloud for a reason.
Yeah, they're both well, like the Final Fantasy VII is 1997, and then Tactics releases 1997 in Japan, 1998 the rest of the world. So.
So was Cloud in the original too? That wasn't just a thing they did for
yeah.
this.
Yeah, no, he's in the original. Yeah.
Yeah. No, and Aerith's in the original too for some reason. Just, you know, even though she's already dead in the story.
Kind of. It's, I mean, there's a flower girl that they call Aerith, but I don't think it's actual Aerith.
Oh yeah, no, I said a version of Aerith, even yeah, though yeah. she's already dead in the Final Fantasy VII's world.
Yeah. Yeah, Cloud's just a complete lunatic in this one. Like,
as he should be.
Mind's fried. Well, I apologize, Marcus, that you did not have a good go with this one. I'm glad you guys chose it, because I'd been wanting to go back to replay it for a long time, and gave me a reason to finally do it. So.
Yeah, I think honestly, you gave me an excuse to play this game, and like I said, there were some parts that there was some friction, and kind of having, you know, this kind of, you know, VG club gave me the incentive to kind of power through those more frustrating slow bits, because what is it? There was a part where you're storming the Marquess's castle.
Mm-hmm.
That one was another frustrating part for me, in addition to the Wii Graph one. Did y'all have any trouble there if you got to there?
I remember the game definitely has like a handful of very like difficult spikes where like, oh wow, this battle is way more harder than anything else that I've seen. So like it possibly that one did. There's a handful that I remember really, a lot of the boss fights for sure. Like,
yeah, it was the one with the twin demon sisters that you first encounter on the roof of the castle.
Yeah, that one was rough. I remember that now.
Yeah, the status effects were bad. It's like you can prepare against everything, but then it's just like, oh, since you're a boy and we're going to start Ramza at the absolute center of the map, he's always going to get, like, charmed.
Yeah. There's sometimes in the story-based battles some absolute bullshit
that is just
set up for you.
Yeah, and like especially like the Wii Graph, demonic Wii Graph fight, you have to fight with Ramza alone. So there's a couple of frustrating points like that, but and then. There's also like only there's a handful of moves you can only learn if like a enemy does an exact attack to you. That also frustrated me. Yeah. I kind of gave up. I was just like, okay, this move's supposed to be really good, like Ultima, but I keep getting hit by all these like status spells, and I just don't want to have to repeat this.
Yeah, I didn't even bother trying to like max out the all the skills, because it wasn't going to happen.
Fair enough. But yeah, no, I mean, and Javi, this was your first time playing Tactics, or did you play it before, like on the PSP or in the PlayStation days?
No, I've never played this before. I think I bought the PSP version. A friend of mine is like a super fan. It's like one of their favorite games. And I was like, ooh, okay, I'll check that out. And I remember like buying it. I might have like started a game, but it actually probably turned out exactly how this playthrough went, where it's like, I'm not vibing with this. I don't know. And it just went nowhere.
Everything's cyclical. Yes.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I mean, what were your final thoughts on the game?
I think ultimately I liked it. I definitely had some frustration moments early on, but once I kind of like powered through and understood what the game was asking me, I kind of it started to click a little bit more. I definitely see how like why it's such a fan favorite. Like, I think the story is very, very good, and I do think it holds up pretty well. Ultimately, like you said, I'm glad I powered through it, because I'm not sure I would have if I didn't have didn't have this to push me through. But yeah, ultimately, pretty glad I did.
And then Javi, I know you said you only put 4 hours into the game.
Yep.
Okay. Well, I mean, like, I think I get the gist of how you felt about it. But what were your final thoughts based on those 4 hours?
I mean, it's very old school. And I think if you're in the market for that kind of experience, it's probably, you know, I have to imagine one of the better tactics games to play. It sounds like the story gets pretty involved and interesting. So,
yeah. And
yeah.
No, and to answer, I think you asked an earlier question, kind of asking about other kind of games in this genre. Like the more recent, like Fire Emblems, they've introduced like a kind of time travel time control mechanics that allow you to kind of rewind, redo turns and stuff. And that kind of helps out a lot, because in this game, you can't really save mid-battle, so if you make a mistake, you have to repeat the entire battle. So I would say like things have improved on that front, if for accessibility reasons at the very least. So just something to consider if you want to ever check out one of the more recent Fire Emblem games. I think the, what is it? Not Faiths. What's the new one that's coming out? It's...
Yeah, I forget the name, but I know what you mean.
Something
I
do with like weaving.
Yeah.
Sorry, this is going to bug me.
There's not a single grid-based tactics game that I've completed. Like, even the ones that I'm fond of, like probably Advance Wars 1 is the one I've played the most. And then Fire Emblem Three Houses, I really wanted to get into. Everybody was obsessed with it, and I loved how it looked. And I'm like, cool, there's a story here. You know, it's kind of a like your own Hogwarts, you know, school that you're a teacher at, and like you grow to like care about your students. Like, all that should work on paper. I'm like, ooh, I want to get super interested in this, and I played quite a bit of it, but like fell off. Like, I don't know, man, something about the gameplay loop. You know what it is with Fire Emblem, at least, is I'm really stubborn, and like if somebody dies in a battle, I just restart. Yep. I just start it over. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, that's a good thing about the more recent Fire Emblems too. You can turn the kind of quote unquote casual mode on, and death isn't permanent anymore.
Well, that's the thing, is that like I also love the idea of such high stakes.
Oh yeah.
So I'm my own worst enemy. So like
oh no, fair enough. I am too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I won't turn on casual mode because I want that risk. But at the same time, it's unacceptable for somebody to die. Yeah.
Like I have to do it perfectly.
Yeah. Exactly. Which means I never progress. Like I just end up burning out on like a stage that's particularly hard. And I'm like, well, never playing this. So yeah.
And then let's get all the negativity out of the way. No, I'm kidding. Marcus, kind of, you got farther into the game than Javi did. If you got to the kind of castle with the kind of twins from like that ninja clan, then I think you got at least 20 hours in, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. So kind of same line of thought as Javi.
A worse line of thought, I would say, because yeah, I similar to y'all, I would have put this game down much sooner, maybe even sooner than Javi did, if we didn't have this game club as sort of the motivating factor. But it was just a pain to play it, and so often I would play it and be like, oh okay, cool, like I got another story bit, and like that was good, that's good motivation, let's keep going. Then I'd hit a wall and I'd have to grind. And sometimes I would like throw on a TV show or something to like focus on that while clicking a button every now and then grinding. But even still, it was just like this. I've just like made my show lesser by playing this piece of crap. Like while I'm trying to watch it, it just was not enjoyable. I did not like it. If they remade this game someday, like properly remade it, not just the sort of, well, we redid it all, I guess reimagined it is maybe the better term here. They reimagined the game and it was a lot more streamlined, I would be there day one. But I will, as it stands, will never play another tactics game again if I can help it.
I think that they would, if they were to do a new one, I don't think it would have as much grinding.
Isn't the Game Boy
Advance Marcus over here like, do you, would you like to play Final Fantasy Tactics? I do not like Final Fantasy Tactics. I do not like Final Fantasy Tactics at all. I would not like them here or there. I would not like them anywhere. I do not like Final Fantasy Tactics in a house. Then
or on my couch.
Nope, no. Sorry, I just, you were saying that diatribe. I was like, this is reminding me of Greetings.
Yeah, except I'm right.
Javi, I think you're right that the GBA and DS ones are different.
But the GBA one is just called Final Fantasy Tactics, right? Or Advanced.
Advanced, yeah. And the DS one's A2.
Crazy.
Yeah, and there's less story to bog you down. So if that was your problem, then
I would say if there was less story in this, I would have dropped out, because like the grinding is fair. A lot, but like the reason I wanted to grind was to see the guy. I wanted to see what would happen next, so I want to advance the story.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, sorry, what was that, Marcus?
No, that's fine. You were going to tell us your closing thoughts?
Oh, I was going to let Chris finish as well. They kind of got started with their closing thoughts.
Yeah, no, I mean, I enjoyed the game quite a bit. I could see where you would fall off it, but I enjoyed it back when I played it in 97. I did not finish all the way through there. This version definitely has, you know, been streamlined a little bit.
I think the loading times are significantly better, right? I recall
when you would die, like it would, like if you had to reset, it just took forever. This doesn't take long if you fail out of a mission. The fast forward button, like while it doesn't speed everything up, like you can definitely speed through enemy moves to get to your next move. So yeah, I had a good time with it. I don't know if I would recommend it as like somebody's first tactics game.
Yeah, same.
And having played Path of Radiance for the first time this year, I would recommend that definitely over this. If like you're new to tactics, I think it's just an easier game to kind of grasp and follow along with, as opposed to this, which requires you to kind of, you're going to have to grind, and it's that's not great. I did similar to what Marcus did, but I was able to like drop it onto my Steam Deck and like, you know, watch a TV show or do something else while I was, instead of having to just sit like in front of my monitor or something, like I was able to kind of like move around the house and do shit while I was grinding. So that,
yeah, I was watching a lot of Let's Plays and watching old anime.
Yeah. But it's like, I'm playing Final Fantasy VII right now as well, the original, and like you have to grind in that too. Like that was just how those games were kind of structured then. It's not great structure, but it just, that's how it was.
Like product of its time.
Yeah, we're gonna add all this extra, not extra, but we're gonna make you engage with the gameplay, because we want you to drag out 40 hours. To what really, like, the narrative here is probably a 20-hour game overall. But anyway, I enjoyed it. Had a good time. I'm glad y'all chose it, because I don't know when I would have got into it otherwise. But I'm happy with it.
Yeah. And honestly, yeah, I'm very much along a kind of similar train of thought as Ben. There was kind of some points where I kind of had to, there were some points that there was friction. I kind of having kind of like VG Club as, you know, a motivator to kind of get through those points was not nice, because I could definitely have seen myself putting down this game at like, you know, certain points. But otherwise, I feel like the story, the writing, voice acting, and even the music, even though my wife is just, my wife's like, I don't know if I want you playing that while I'm reading. The music is just so relaxing, it makes me fall asleep.
Oh, wow. That's a good
And thing. I was playing the game at a friend's house when we were kind of staying there, and he's somebody who played, you know, the original Tactics back in the day, and he's just like, hey, would you mind switching to something else? I know this game can be fun and engaging if you're playing it, but it's probably the most boring game ever.
Nobody wants you to play this game. Can you do anything way. Else? Holy crap.
But I mean, like, I switched over to Windswept, which was it's like the Duck and Turtle, like Donkey Kong Country like game, and that was a lot better.
Already, yeah.
You gotta play Nico Dorico. Have you heard of that?
No.
It is basically just like, if you're a fan of Tropical Freeze, like the 2.5D Donkey Kong, like it is 100% just like doing that, but it's really, really good. It's an indie game and it looks great.
Yeah, Nico and Dorito, like literally Dorito as in the same spelling as
Nico Dorico.
Oh, Dorico. Okay. Kind of sounds like I'm playing through a game called Snake Pass right now, and the two main characters are Noodle Snake and Doodle. Pass. It's really good.
That was a Switch like early title, and I didn't review it, but I played the hell out of it, 100% of it.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the snake. Yeah, kinda. You wrap around stuff. It's like a platformer where you can't jump; you can just wrap around stuff.
Pretty. It's still pretty innovative, even like, God, almost like 8 years later.
Yeah. I put Nico Dorico in the chat. Don't vote for
okay.
it. But or do, because it's very cool. But yeah.
But yeah, no. All in all, really liked it. But yeah, if this is your first tactical turn-based game RPG, you might get what's the word I'm looking for? You might scared from the genre, so I would probably recommend a Fire Emblem game. But yeah, no, that is Final Fantasy Tactics. And yeah, Javi, are you the one that's choosing our next game?
No. Marcus.
Nope.
Marcus is giving us the chat.
Anyways, the four choices for our next game are Deliver Us Mars, Schedule 1, Revenge of the Savage Planet, and Pacific Drive.
Okay.
Enter your votes now. Deliver Us Mars
not give us a preview?
I don't know.
Weird, right?
I think it's that Evilist Chronicles screenshot. It's really scaring stuff away.
I just bought Deliver Us Mars this past week.
Okay.
Oh, Epic gave it away for free in one of their many giveaways. So.
Oh, I must have missed that one. Or I have it and I just don't know. Which is going to be annoying if I do.
Cool. Did you already start playing? Can you just refund it?
Well, I bought it on a Microsoft store, so I don't think I can refund it there. Maybe I can. I don't know. I did not start playing it, though.
I assumed Microsoft let you do refunds, but no idea.
I've never.
Okay,
never
so tried. Pacific Drive, Revenge of the Savage Planet, and oh, Deliver Us Mars. Okay, there was an image for that. Honestly, yes, Revenge of the. Okay, Revenge of the Savage. Okay, we got three votes for Deliver Us Mars. And one vote for. Okay, I can be. Pacific Drive sounds really cool. I think I'm gonna. Well, actually, let me look a bit more into Deliver Us into Mars. Let's see.
No, Deliver Us Mars.
Okay. Like, go there, package it up, and give it to us.
Yeah, give me Mars.
Okay, that's 749.
I do own all of these except Revenge of the Savage Planet, so that's good.
You own Schedule 1?
Yeah.
Have you played it?
No. I got it as part of like it was part of like a humble choice at some point.
Oh shoot. Okay. So, I just heard people talk about it and I was like, ooh.
I think
Pacific Drive looks cool, but it's also $30.
It's on services. I think it's on both PS Plus and Game Pass.
Well, that means I have to pay for one of those.
Oh, if you don't have it, like redeem the Epic games like Marcus said? Because
it was one of them.
Oh,
yeah, I missed the boat on that as well. Okay, I think I'm gonna go Deliver Us Mars, and I believe that makes it win out over
Pacific Drive. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Good. Cool.
So
anybody spends 40 hours on this, you fucked up.
yeah, it's not long, right? Like it's
Let's see, Deliver. I want to be
4 hours.
Oh yeah,
no, I'm kidding. I don't know.
It's as long as you want it to be. In that case,
yeah.
Javi wasn't too far off. It's saying like about 8 hours for the main story.
Main story, that's good.
So yeah, I'm sure you could speed run this in 4 hours or less.
Just it is the second Deliver Us game. Mm-hmm. The first was called Deliver Us the Moon. I don't know if they're narratively tied. I don't think it probably matters one way or the other, but.
Yeah, I think you're the same person, but the first game had a lot less narrative stuff going on than the second one does.
Yeah.
All right, and then I am going to buy the game before I forget while it's still 75% off.
There you go. It's a good discount.
Yep. All right, and that is our episode. That is our episode on Final Fantasy Tactics. Next time, we will be talking about Deliver Us Mars, and yeah. Anybody have any closing thoughts before we hop off?
No, I'm just going to be really glad to like finish a game.
It sounds like you struggle with procrastination, Marcus.
Let's talk about that. It sounds like I struggle with shitty games.
Let's talk about that.
All right, that is an episode. Thank you so much for listening to all of us, and I hope whoever's listening has a wonderful day. This is VG Club, and we're out. Say bye, Hobby.
Goodbye.